All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Can we rise to our feet quickly? Let's declare the word of God together. Now, what we do is we charge ourselves to be able to understand the word of God. The word of God is not understood by intellectual effort. The word of God is understood by spiritual, revelation. It's the revelation of the word of God that helps us to understand. That's the Holy Spirit that helps us understand. So what we do is to charge our spirits to be able to understand. How we do that is by opening our mouths and declaring the word of God that is, as we wrote it inside them. Most of us have memorized it by heart. So those of you coming for the first time, you can look at your paper. Now let's take it 1, 2, let us go.
The Lord has given me spirit of wisdom
and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. Right, amen. I said amen.
Amen.
If you believe the understanding is your portion today, give me another amen.
Amen.
And I declare to you that as the word is coming forth this evening, it will heal you in every area in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Those who came to hear the Lord Jesus, they heard and they were healed. And I declare to you that you will also be healed today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Confusion is driven out of your life by the entrance of this word today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Insight, direction, what to do to come out of the current situation into the level that God wants you to be in next. It will come to you today as the word comes in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will reveal himself to you. You will get to know him better.
Amen.
And you will become better in your character and reflecting Jesus Christ more than ever before.
Amen.
I said in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Let's take our seats. All right, now we have been talking for some time on the true service of God, what it really means, how do we really serve God properly. Again, let me do it one more time, recommend our book, How to Work for God. Try and get a copy and make sure you read it. That's How to Work for God. Many of the things I'm saying inside here, you will find in the book. Some of the things inside the book, you probably will overlook to say them now. Now, today I want to go ahead to talk about the work of rest. How that is the work of God. Now, if you read the book, actually this comes at the end of the book. There's another section that I have not gotten to. That is giving as working for God. So maybe I'll take that one later on as a segment on its own, how to give to God. It's very important. We can't say these things enough. Christians must understand how to give to God, especially because they are often wrongly taught. Christians are often taught that you give to God because you want him to give to you. I know I won't get tired of saying the truth. As long as people are there teaching the opposite, we have to continue to tell the truth so that Christians will know what the truth really is about. What am I trying to say? The way by which you give to God, we'll discuss it later. It is not so that you can get from him. If you are giving to God so you can get from him, I say boldly, you are wasting your time, you are wasting your money. It's a waste of money. People say when you tithe, the devourer will be rebuked for your sake. Nobody ever promised you that. Nobody ever promised you that. Nobody. As a child of God, you don't have that promise. So don't deceive yourself. Okay? Now, people say that you give so that God can multiply it back for you. Once you do that, once you start giving so that he can multiply it back, you are putting a wrong spirit into a right thing. Do you get my point? Assuming you are in the house, you're a wife, and you're cooking one fantastic dish, all right, for your husband, and somebody says, you really love your husband, why are you doing this? And then you now say that, when he comes back, I intend to ask him for something. That's why I'm doing this. And if they recorded that and played it for him, do you think he will eat that food? You come by, when he's coming, you buy gala. You won't know why the man arrives with four galas like this. The man will be eating gala and drinking Fanta. And you'll be looking like, when did you fall in love with gala? The guy says, I fell out of love with the kitchen and the other room. So, it is... I don't know what you are planning, so I'm not eating. Why? What you are doing is not motivated by love. Are you getting my point here? And listen, even Jesus said, even if you, ordinary human beings, understand these things, how much more your Father? The truth is that God sees our heart. I, the Lord, I test the mind. I search the heart. That's what he does. He tests, he searches the heart. That's how he said it. So that before he rewards us. So we're going to talk about that later, okay? But today I just feel impressed on my spirit to jump that segment, okay, in the book that comes before what I want to talk about now. But let's jump it, get to talk about this, and we'll now come back to that later. Now, we've been explaining the fact that the work of God is not only the things that we call spiritual. For us believers in Christ Jesus, everything we do is the work of God. It is not only that thing that we think is spiritual. For example, I am here, all right, preaching the gospel. People will say, I am working for God. And I don't think it's a lie. I think it is true. That's what I'm trying to do. But I'm trying to say that if you are in your marketplace, you are a carpenter, and you are making furniture, you are working for God just as much as I am working for God right now. It is not as if because I am preaching, I'm working for God, but you, the carpenter, you are not working for God. It depends on what God called you to do. What we have to understand, okay, which is the thing I'm trying to get Christians to be careful about, is not to neglect carpentry, to go into ministry, thinking that that is superior calling. It is not superior in your life. Are you getting my point? Now, please, note what I said. I am not saying that the word of God is not more important than every other thing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that in your life, Jesus said, occupy with this, do business with this. He gave you something. It is to do the one that he sent you to do, all right? And to finish his work that is important. It is not for you to assess and decide that it is better to be a priest, okay, than to be a warrior in Israel. For that reason, you abandon your calling as a soldier. You're not going to join the priesthood because you feel that they are closer to the sacrifices. They are closer to the temple. If God did not call you, all right, into the priesthood in Israel, you died if you got close to it. If you came to burn strange fire, you died for it. So what God says is that what exactly did I ask you to do? And listen, you know, as I told you, I traveled today. My wife and I were driving through, I came from Benin, driving through Benin before we hit the express and I started coming down. I just looking, and then we got to Onitsha also. I was looking at all the billboards, all the signboards, all the posters pasted everywhere, announcing churches and programs and all of that. I told my wife, if only 10% of these people will just be preaching the truth and Christians are living the truth, I said the very soil we are driving on will have felt it by now. Not even talking about politicians and governors. I mean, the very soil that we are farming on, the very earth we are walking on will have felt the effect if indeed only 10% of all those churches I saw advertised, those programs I saw advertised, those posters I saw out there, if only 10% of the activities were dedicated to teaching the truth of the word of God and Christians were, you know, taught to practice those things, the earth we are walking on will have felt it by now. When I say felt it, there are times the earth will refuse to be eroded. Erosion will come. They say, no, the word says we should stay here. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. Okay? I remember one of the things I told my wife, I said, listen, if we just come to church, okay, and practice what the scriptures say, we practice those things. If people went to church, all right, and listen to what I'm going to say, and we pastors, all right, if we would just teach them and bless people and warn them against the dangers of iniquity, because these days people hardly get warned. And the only people they warn people, it's as if don't go do this, so don't go to hellfire. I really don't think hellfire is a problem. You know, hellfire is a problem. I don't want to go near the place, so. No, really, I don't want to, okay? I don't want to go near it at all. I don't even want to know the direction to the place. I am just saying, that is even a remote problem. Let's just think of Ananias and Sapphira small. I was just thinking about it. My wife and I were alone in the car. I said, just imagine that this happened. That when people go to church, when they're going to church, maybe, okay, the man comes from church, and they now say that, okay, we're going to change these figures so that we can make money. And he says, eh? Hey! In church, pastor said, this week, every thief will die. You know, no matter where you're walking, they will soon mark you. So when they want to steal, they'll make sure you're not present. And then listen, you become a standard for them. Yes. And then you become a reason why God can actually judge iniquity. That's a matter of fact. So you see that as we carry the practice of the word of God to the various places in life where we are supposed to be working, where we work every day, not just in church now, from Monday to the next to Saturday, assuming we come to church only on Sundays. If we just practice God's word in those places, that is the work of God. The areas will be affected. I want Christians to understand, it is not carrying Bible and preaching that's God's work. First of all, it is living the word you have heard. That's a work. That is a work. To live that word that you have heard. To live it. Are you getting my point? To live it. That is, they say love is patient, love is kind. You hear it on Sunday in church. Then on Monday, your assignment is this week, kindness and patience. These are part of the traits of God in my life. Every time you find yourself being impatient, you find yourself being unkind, you settle down and confess that sin out of your life and confess the word of God until kindness is part of you. That is God's work. Listen to me. If you are not doing that, no matter what you are doing outside, you are wasting time. Let me say it again. If you are not doing that, no matter what you are doing outside, you are wasting time. Let me say it one more time. If you are not doing what I have said, in which you take God's word every day, regularly, you look at your life, you look at the word, compare the two, you find out that your life is slightly shorter than, you know, it's called falling short of God's glory. You find out that your life is shorter than where the word is. You now make that gap, closing that gap, the primary assignment you have. If you are not doing that, every other thing you are doing is a waste of time. I don't want to go over that again. We've explained it before. So becoming conformed to the image of Christ is our primary work for God. It is not the giving of offerings. It's not how early you come to church. Many people will come early to church, and in the same manner they will go early to hell. Early to church. Early to... early to hellfire. I'm telling the truth. That is when the first will become the last, when it comes to blessing. That's why I said it before. It's so impossible, so difficult to judge somebody's life. It's so difficult. You don't know who's serving God. Many of us are in church running up and down. Many people are anointed. They came to Jesus. Did we not prophesy in your name? And they were not lying. We did miracles in your name. They were not lying. He now said to them, get away from here. I never knew you. You are doers of iniquity. That is, it's what they were doing in their personal lives that he was looking at, not the work they were doing outside. Did you hear what I said? It wasn't what they were doing for him he was counting. It was how they were living their lives in their personal sphere. That was what he was looking at. So when they said they prophesied in his name, he said it's not impressive. I've seen a donkey do it before. That was what he said, not me. Remember the story of Balaam? A sinner can preach and people will give their lives to Christ. That's not a joke. I mean that literally. A man who does not believe, we take the scripture, quote one or two verses of it, and say, give your life to Christ and sinners will be saved. But when he comes for judgment, just look at him and say, this boy, I know him. That is, I never knew him, but I know the kind of thing he was doing. Are you getting my point? He judges him because of how his own personal life is. For that reason, if we claim we are working for God, it's not early going to church that's the primary thing. It's not giving money. Giving of money is not the primary thing. It's not being diligent. Christians in modern days, we have been taught a lot of works of the flesh. And those things, we are taught that they will cause blessings to come to us. Let me say it again today. It is not true. They don't in themselves bring forth blessings. They only bring forth blessings if they are manifestations of the work that God has done inside us. No matter how much you diligently give your first fruit, it has no meaning. Carrying your whole first salary to church, claiming it's first fruit, is not Bible. It's an arrangement between you, your pastor, and your denomination. Don't even think you can come to God and say, I must be blessed for it. There is no blessing attached. It's a church law. Calculating 10% every time you see money, it shows that you are not normal. Are you getting my point? Just forget this thing. Let's tell us the truth. You're not all right. You're not all right. I'm going to write on it. I have to write a small booklet on it. Tithing like Abraham. If I don't write it, you are the fault. You are the one that's at fault. I must finish that book in a short while. The tithe of Abraham. I need to write it. How Christians should tithe. The true tither. A true tither in Christianity. Now first, let me just say it to you again. Abraham's tithe was voluntary. It was a decision he made by himself with himself. There was no revelation pushing him. The only revelation there, that I'm talking about 10%, the only revelation was that he gave it to Melchizedek. The king of Sodom, the other kings will also have given the exact sum depending on whose land they passed through, depending on which gods they served. It was one of the codes of Babylon at that time. It was their taxation system. What was unique about Abraham was that he took it and gave to Melchizedek. That is, he recognized the priesthood of Melchizedek. That's how come you hear that he did it only once. There was no other story about it. Isaac never did it. And Jacob did not do something. Well, he did his own style differently. He made a vow to God using the same codes. Now, I'm trying to explain the principle here. So when a Christian wants to, in quote, tithe, he can decide that, listen, God has been so good to me. I think my tithe for this, tithe, you see where I'm saying it like this, tithe, you know. You know, I'm just borrowing the terminology. I said, this month is 100%. Who do I give it to? Anywhere I like. Next point. I can decide that, listen, my pastor has been a tremendous blessing. You take one third. I've not honored my father enough. You take one third. All these people in my neighborhood, let me share the other one third. Christmas is coming. And that's the 100% is gone, shared to three places. It's as I like it. I forgot one part of it. I could decide to take one quarter and say, this one, me, my wife, and children, we will eat it. Yes. We must eat it in a wasteful manner. No, if you eat it as meals, it's not a sacrifice. It's not an offering. It is the eating in a wasteful manner that is of God. At such times. What does it mean? You go and buy things you normally don't eat. You drag all your children to one. You know, there's one Chinese restaurant in the street there. So all of you, what are we going to do? We want to eat in a very wasteful manner. Children, if I see you do this tomorrow, I will deny you. But for today, you will sit down there. By the time they give you B, look at the bill. You, your wife, three children. Bill, 75,000. You know it's an offering. It has to be an offering. By the time five of you eat 75K as they go, and your name is not Dangote, you are... You're either giving an offering or you are going to hellfire. It's one of the two. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you should do that once in a while. But when you want to do it as an offering. You pray. Say, Father, I thank you. We are here to waste a few things. And this waste is an offering unto the Lord. In case you do not know it, that was how Jacob fulfilled his vow to God. He said, for everything you have given me, I'll give you a tenth. When he got there, there was no Melchizedek. There was no official priest to the type you had later in Israel. What did he do? He just separated the animals randomly, took one-tenth of them, slaughtered them, packed them on a big heap and set fire under them and burnt them to ashes. And he stood back and the smoke went up to heaven as a sweet-smelling savour, an offering pleasing to God. Many people don't know that. So I just dropped that by the wayside. Okay, let's get it clear. So God is not, in Christianity, we are not legalistic people. We are not. We are cheerful givers. A true New Testament tither is a fellow who is liberal with money. He's liberal. Every time he sees a need, she sees a need, she's eager to give. Future is not scary. Say, this one, I care for the future of my children. Say, the future of my children is in God. Money cannot secure their future. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So I'm generous with what I have today. That's a Christian tither. Not the working accountant. That says, a man said you have to bring the whole tithe. What's the whole tithe? If I give you a lift, you're going to Onitsha. You know, I was coming from that side now. You're coming from Onitsha. I see you for a road, I pick you. When you reach town, you will check. How much does Peace Mass collect normally? He says 1,002. What is 10% of 1,002? 120. So for the lift you gave me, I owe God 120. That is how not to sleep well. Your faith will fail. Are you getting my point? Yeah, your faith will fail. Because one day you are going to wake up, three of your children at the same time will develop fever simultaneously. And instead of you to start rebuking the fever, you start doing, my wife, come. Did you eat the tithe? Can you see what I'm saying? I see Christians, they will have flat tire. They'll come, who ate the tithe in this car? Call that Christianity? That's a fat joke. As a fat joke, every little problem in your life, I want to check. God, your money not complete. Why are they doing like this? Small, any problem in your life, you are checking God. What did I do to you? Some people are paying over just so that God, they will not mistakenly owe this wicked soul. They call God. If they are, you know, if you work for most big companies, or federal government or state government, the salary, you know, they round. I don't know whether it's wickedness. It's never round. If they want to pay you 50,000 naira, it's going to be 49,862 naira, 18 kobo. No, really. No, you know the way it is. Because the way they calculated the allowances, the deductions, fake percentages, genuine percentages, mistakes by the accountant, all those kind of things, when they deliver your money, that's how you know that, true, your salary has entered. If you see a round figure, it's not your salary. It's somebody else. But when you see strange numbers like 82,991,915 kobo, you will look at it and say, no, this is a salary. Those are they are very difficult to tithe on. The tithe cannot be complete. Can't be accurate. Because you go check the percentage. Check. And before, if you were using GT Bank until recently, GT did not allow those cobble thing in transfer. So lest you owe God, some people they overpay. So next time somebody seek for house, they go check. Say, God, let's face it, the tithe was supposed to be 5,000 something, but I give you 6,000. Lest by any means we shortchange you. You see how we erode our faith every day? That's not Christianity. Forget it. It's not Christianity. I don't care who told you otherwise. It's not Christianity. But why am I talking about this? Somebody keeping me there today. Please, so let me just emphasize it. I'm not saying Christians are not tithers. What I said that the tithes of Christians, number one is what? Voluntary. It's not compulsory. Number two, the percentage is not 10. It's anyone you like. It varies from, let's just say, 1% to 100%. Let's put it like that. Three, where do you carry it to? It's your problem, not my own. Don't come and make me be the one to tell you. So the summary of it is just be generous. Be cheerful. Don't eat your money alone. Don't eat it alone. Don't eat it alone. It's very important. Just as an aside, I told you I'm just coming from my alumni district. By the time we finished, you know, donating to the faculty and all of that, the provost said, hey, every year is somebody's 25th anniversary. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. For us, class of 91. Next year will be class of 92. Last year was class of 1990. University of Benin has been graduating doctors since 1976. Okay? So, he just said, if every class has been doing like this, this college will have been very rich. That every year we know another person is coming to do something. By the time we finish donating, the man said, no. If everybody, so he's hoping that other people will see. I know human beings, we like competition. Yeah. So the class of 92, they are warming up now. Say, we'll outdo you people. It's all for the good of the college. I'm talking about Christians. Let's just learn. Don't eat your money by yourself. Put yourself last when it comes to money management. Your own pleasure should come last. There are those who can't give. You know why they can't give? They are very strategic in how not to give. They plan how not to give very well. Do you know how they do it? And they never have. You know why they never have? His shirt is on credit. Shoe is on credit. Hair is on credit. Makeup on credit. Everything is on credit. So by the time he or she collects money and finishes paying the debt, There's nothing remaining. I say, all I have now is this 1.5. Just this 1,005. So I can't give. And you that know, say it's true. You forget that all the debts he or she is paying back, there's no giving on credit there. A lot of people tell me that, can you borrow to give? I'm not one that says you can't borrow to give. I just ask you, how were you living normally? If you were borrowing to spend, you better borrow to give. Okay. Yes. You will go to the bank. Access Bank will finance a brand new car for you. Collect half of your income. Then you don't have to give again. Better go and also let them borrow, lend you money to give as offering. They'll be servicing both loans at the same time. It's true. No, Chris, you don't know. People are very funny. For example, Majid Bank is collecting out of your salary. One bank finance your car, they are collecting. Then when it comes to offering, you want us to understand that you don't have. You will never have. You don't have any faith. How can you have money? Greedy soul. Wicked people. And they ask me why the kingdom is not moving. Why will it move? This is the truth. Can you give up? Should you borrow to give? I don't know. But if I see your car is brand new, I say, did you pay cash? He said, no. What happened? One bank financed it. In that case, I hope you have another loan running on offerings. That is the reason why you don't hear me say offering time. It annoys me when people are looking for change to give, to say, this ministry is blessing me. 200 naira. See his phone. iPhone 7. That phone will never work again in Jesus' name. How rubbish is that? Spend 400,000 on phone and tell the ministry is blessing you. You put 1,000 in an offering basket. You now wonder why Note 7 was exploding. It's because of Christians. That's why it was exploding. If now you know go explode, wicked people are carrying you up and down. That's why I don't do offering time, blessing time. Blessing time is every day. When you wake up in the morning, it's blessing time. When you are eating your food, it's blessing time. Are you getting my point? If you want to give, you give with determination. You give with preparedness. One brother said once, he went to church for a program, and he heard that people said that I gave 1 million. He said, people give 1 million? People give 1 million? How do they manage? He started praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess that I am also 1 million giver in the name of Jesus. The bro confessed the word until he was able to give 1 million. He said, people are giving 1 million. We'll just stand there, they look them. I'm serious. That was his attitude. People can buy 5 million naira car. They can't give 5 million naira offering. Let me tell you the truth. In this life, you make up your mind. Anything I can use, I can give. Anything I can use, I can give. Just make up your mind. Anything I can use, when I say use now, I don't mean if they dash me a car, I can use it. I mean, no. I can go and tell a bank to finance a loan and to finance a car for me. In the same manner, I should be able to wake up one day and say, look, I like what Jesus used to say, so that you understand it for people. Jesus used to do something. Say, go and give to the poor. Some never say, come, kingdom. No, just get up and say, what is there to be done that we can use to improve life for people on this earth for the advancement of the kingdom of God? Just go. Maybe there's one preacher you are listening to somewhere say, man, this guy is a tremendous blessing. Let him come and cover our area with this broadcast. Walk up by yourself to one radio station and say, how much will it be? So you say, if I want to do it for 2 years, this is what I will pay. They say, yes. You check your car, check that one. How did I finance this car? It was a bank. I say, okay, good. The same bank. Give me money. Until we have reached that level, you know the truth? We are not givers. We are practicing. I don't know. Say, don't forget this habit of I must put something inside the basket all the time. Is the way, you know, when the church raised its people in poverty mentality, that's the issue. I keep on giving the example of my alumni fellowship. When we go, we stay from Wednesday afternoon, that's Wednesday evening, Thursday morning, Thursday, two or three sessions. Okay, no, okay, depending, all right. We start from Wednesday, ministers meeting, till Sunday night, till Saturday night. Two or three sessions, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and one session on Wednesday. You've been there. Many of you have been there. You never heard us once say offering time. You ever heard us say offering time? We worship, we sing, we do everything, we teach the word powerfully, we lay hands on people, and at the end of the time, we share grace, we go. Why? Because we, what is offering time? That convention costs millions for that weekend. We tell Brent ahead of time, listen, send in your money. And they plan for it. The last one my wife and I gave as a family, I paid that money 3 times. Because many things were competing for my finances. 3 times. This is the first half. Of the balance half, this is the first half. Then this is the second half. The money finally finished. Once next year's period is coming, we are thinking about it already. Sometimes, there's one brother, if this year he gave, as an example, all right? Me too, I do it. My wife and I will do that also. If assume just as an example, assume this year now, we give, let's just take an example, let's say, 200 naira, as an example, it's not 200 naira, just trying to illustrate something. Next year, we'll make sure it's 200 naira and 50 kobo. That the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It's shining brighter and brighter. We won't be on the same level. It's plotting. You plan it. That's why I don't like all this offering time, Abraham's blessings are mine. Everybody's dropping something. Thing that annoys my body. That annoys my body. Annoys my soul. And it grieves my spirit. All three. I just feel like, has it ever happened when you are going out? You're a married man, you love your wife. You are going out, say, honey, how are you? I love you very much. You draw 15 naira for table. The woman go look you. Amen. Praise God. Anyway, when you come back, you will see that 15 naira right where you left it. It's a sign of her love for you. You leave it right where you left it. Think about it. There are times you sit down and say, this is my wife. Good girl. This is her car. It needs redemption. So you start praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, you will cause prosperity to flow towards me like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I receive abundance. Why? You want to buy a motor for your wife? You could be quoting scripture. You will deny yourself all kinds of things. Then one day, the car is now ready. You know the way you'll be feeling happy. Now they say, wait, are you going? No, don't go out, I'm coming. Wait for me, I'm coming. You know the way it is? You now enter the compound and park outside. You know what I'm trying to say? Let me leave it there. And when your wife sees it and she freaks out, you say, Father, I worship you. What are you worshiping over? You saw her reaction, it worked. She likes it. Oh, Father, I thank you. You don't say, sweetheart, now that I've given you a car, what shall you give back to me? Do you do that? Yeah, but if it's not a gift to God, say, Lord, I gave you a seed. When are you going to multiply it? God say, collect, I don't want to give. I don't want to give. Carry your seed only, Jaguda. Give offering, tie rope to the neck of the goat. Oh, the Lord is good. Am I talking only about offering things? We'll come back to it later. That's not my message for today. That's not at all my message for today. All right, let me just summarize that. So, Christians, we love God. We are cheerful givers. We just give. And the manifestation of love for God is love for the things that we can see. Are you getting my point? We see the word of God, we love it. We see the minister of the word, we love him, we love her. We see people we are supposed to honor, we love them. We see people who are in need, we love them. We see our co-workers in the office, we love them. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. We're always eager to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That is a Christian tither. I hope you get my point. Yes, if you think I'm paying God off with 10%, you never start. After you're giving the 10%, let me leave that, Apostle. Let's leave that now. We will preach another time. Well, if you allow it, we'll preach another time. What's that book I'm supposed to write? Good. I'm happy you know that. The Lord is good. Now let's get into today's message. Let's hope we have time, okay, for it. Now what I want to, let's start our scripture, our reading for today. The book of Genesis chapter 2. Let's start reading from there. The Bible says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. Then verse 2, by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. Please notice it. God worked for 7 days, for 6 days. On the seventh day, he completed the things he was doing. And the Bible says he rested from his work. And then he blessed and sanctified the seventh day, because in it he rested from all his work which he had done. The last scripture I want us to read quickly. Isaiah chapter 56. Now let's look at this. Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to be revealed, and my righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness is about to be revealed. He said, how blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who takes hold of it. That is, listen to this. This, my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness is about to be revealed. Now, the son of man who takes hold of this revelation, who takes hold of my salvation, who takes hold of my righteousness, this is how you will see it manifested in his life. He said, blessed is the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. He said, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, and choose what pleases me, and hold fast my covenant, to him I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial, and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. In verse 6, it says, also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant. He was saying, these are the people that will be acceptable to me. Let me just stop reading here. Now, why am I reading this? What I'm talking about is a work that many people don't realize is actually done for God. They don't understand that this thing, if we are doing it, it is actually for the Lord. Now, I'm going to say something here. If you read the commandments of God, 10 commandments that he gave to Israel at Sinai, one of them was, thou shalt, how does it say this? That one of Sabbath. Yes, thank you very much. He said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Let me quickly say something. You know, Christians sometimes will be very funny. We say we are not under the law. Saturday is not our Sabbath, right? They will move our Sabbath to which day? Sunday. They want to keep it the way the Jews kept Saturday. Listen, be realistic. If you want to be a Jew, be a Jew. And keep the Sabbath from 6 p.m. on Friday to 6 p.m. on Saturday. 24-hour period, all right? But the truth is that we are not under the law of Moses. And before the law of Moses, there was nowhere in the scripture you saw anybody keep that Sabbath. And after Jesus came, you never heard the disciples talk about it again. Now, that's that law of remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, in that no work is to be done on the Sabbath day, in that they had a limited amount of journey they could take. You were not supposed to cook on the Sabbath day from 6 p.m. on Friday to 6 p.m. on Saturday. That was a law for Israel. Now, but why am I reading it? I'll tell you. The reason is because there is a principle behind every law. So when you find that that commandment was not directly given to Christians, it does not mean the principle is missing. It means that Abraham must have kept that principle for him to be blessed. Are you getting my point? The disciples and the new covenant, they kept the principle for them to be blessed. They must have kept the principle. So what is that principle of Sabbath? That's what I'm going to explain. What is that principle of Sabbath that we believers are supposed to keep? It is not just the physical restraining of working on the 24-hour period. Let me just go straight to it. The fact is that Sabbath for us believers is a continuous thing. Continuous thing. It's not just in a day. It's not just a 24-hour period. It's a mindset. It's a lifestyle. It's our judgment-making process. It's our decision-making process. Let me give you a simple example. Let us assume now you're applying for a job and 500 people are applying for the same job and they're going to employ only 5 people. And you happen to know the MD of the company. It's a relative. One of the principles of Sabbath is you will just deliberately refuse to call him or notify him that you're coming for the interview. That is a principle of Sabbath. I don't need your help, sir. Thank you very much. It's quite quiet in this Presbyterian church, isn't it? That's the principle of Sabbath. I am not going to manipulate anything. I'm going for the interview. I'm sorry, sir. I don't need your help. I walk in there. If God's not placing me in there, leave on now. I'm competing against many people. Doesn't matter. There is a God that's on my side. And I want to get in, not with somebody begging for me or bending rules for me. This is an interview. It's a bank job. I'm going to do the interview. What's the big deal? How you know you are breaking the law of Sabbath is when you pick your phone. You call your father. Ah, daddy. Hey, thank God. What happened? I found out that Uncle Moses is an ED in that bank. So what am I supposed to do? Hey, daddy, you call him now. Now, let's assume your father is like me. And he says, sorry, I'm not willing to call. Once you start getting angry, you're a sinner. God corrects people. Maybe the first time you felt that he should call. And God said, no problem. You are making a mistake, but let's leave it. So he tells your father, don't call. First day, your father hasn't called. Maybe he even promised to call. He kept forgetting. Then he traveled. Then your great auntie died. Then he went to the village. Network not there. Interview is getting closer. Your father has not made a call. Are you getting my point? They start getting agitated. You are angry. That's how daddy does. That's the problem now. If it's Emeka's dad now, he will have called. If it's Ambrose's dad, he will have called. The other day, if his father called immediately. In fact, he traveled down. He didn't even call. If my father, once I'm talking like that, you are not going far in life. You have no plan for progress. You are a sinner. And you, instead of you to be repenting, you are sinning again. I told you before, if it's law, you want to see law. Christianity has more laws than Moses can imagine. For us believers, our Sabbath is something else. It's an attitude of rest. I don't know what I get my point. The Bible said there remaineth a Sabbath for the people of God. What does Sabbath mean for Christians? It means that we realize that we have a promised land and we are going to enter it only by faith and nowhere else. He said if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have promised another rest. What was he saying? That rest was about entering into a promised land. And that promised land is not the physical land that people are fighting over there in Jerusalem, physical Jerusalem now. That land is a land in the realm of the spirit. But the point is this, we are entering it only by faith. That is, we take the promises of God, we take those promises, act upon them, hold them tight, and then it produces something in our lives. Then you say, this is a blessing of Sabbath. Let me tell you the truth. It's easier to be a Jew than to be a Christian if you wanted to walk by flesh. It is just that we are walking by faith, and God is supplying grace. That is why it is easier. Let me say something about Christianity. If you read my book, By Faith Acquire Life, there's one chapter there in which I describe escape velocity. What is escape velocity? It's the amount of, for those of us who know physics, every object that wants to leave the earth must hit a speed of 11 kilometers per second that is able to travel from here to nature in less than 9 seconds. Do you hear what I said? You take off from Enugu in Onitsha in 9 seconds to escape the gravitational pull of the earth upwards. We must be going like that upwards. So to generate that amount of energy or velocity, it takes a lot of input, a lot of fuel. So that's why spacecrafts are packed with a lot of fuel. The reason why I'm talking about it is this. For us to hit, now, when that spacecraft leaves the earth, succeeds in its mission, all right? It starts revolving around the earth with very little power consumption. moving from one place to the other is very easy. It's now in space. It's now seated in heavenly places far above principalities of gravity. Are you getting my point here? Now listen, for it to get out of the gravitational pull of the earth, it had to exert a lot of energy. But once it escaped, all right, it gets to a place where life is very easy. Flows around with little energy. Just little fuel to push it from one direction to the other. But that one to push it out of the gravitational pull of the earth is tremendous. It's heavy. It's a lot. It takes energy. This one I'm making, that's where the work of faith is. Initially, when we begin to teach some of these things, they appear very hard. Why? We are still under the gravitational pull of the mundane things of this earth. But when people have learned God's word and pumped in enough energy, I mean what I'm saying, you will see, they will say, hey, your uncle is a minister. Let him call you. Call him. He will help you. You say, I am not calling anybody. If God is not planning to help me, let him leave it. You do that on one job and you don't get the contract. You do it another one, you also don't get it. You do it again on the third one. What that simply means is that you are pushing yourself out of the gravitational pull of this earth. It gets to a point, every word you speak will get you a contract. But most of the times, what happens is that we lose that ability because Satan tempts us with simple things. Call this man, he can help you. Go and see this man, he will help you. Do this one, he will do it for you. Then you now start calling and calling, seeing this person, wasting a lot of time. I'm talking about Sabbath. The Sabbath principle of Christianity simply means that if I am going to enter into anything in this my life, it must be because I received God's word and I acted upon the word of God. It must be by the power of prayer and confession of the word. That's all. That is the principle of Sabbath. Please, I'm going somewhere, all right? There are other manifestations of this, which is actually the main thing I want to talk about, of this Sabbath thing in the lives of believers. Life generally has, of course, many times you can divide life into two parts. And what I want to divide today is to talk about the period of work and the period of rest. Now, that rest period is also a manifestation of that Sabbath spirit. Now, when God gave it to Israel, rest was not just about Friday night to Saturday night. But because Israel didn't understand anything, you get my point here, he had to teach them in such a practical way that they'll say, okay, this is how Sabbath will be in your life. And that was why you did not see Abraham observe it, and you did not see anybody else before Moses observe it. And after Jesus, the church did not observe it. Now, like I was saying, it shows that there was a way it manifested in the lives of these other people. Let me give an example. Can you remember that Abraham went to war, the story of tithing that we all know about? And after war, he had a right to the things he won in battle. Then he made a statement. He said, let's just read it, you know, just so that just be like we are reading the scripture, even though we all know it, you know, we all know it by heart. All right, let's just flip over to that part of Genesis. Chapter 14. Now, we know the story, okay? Lot was living in Sodom, of course, and then he was raided when some kings came and attacked the king of Sodom. That's in verse 1. For time's sake, we're not going to read all of that. Then the Bible now tells us that after they told this to Abraham, the Bible tells us in verse 13, somebody told Abraham, and then in verse 14, Abraham heard that his relative had been taken captive. He led out his strange men born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit of the other folks, all right, as far as Dan. Then he divided his forces against them by night and all of that. Now go to verse 16. Now after he defeated them, he brought back all the goods and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions and also the women and the people. Now please see verse 17. Then after his return from the defeat of... Pronounce that for me. All right, don't worry about pronouncing it. You two, you don't know it. Then after the return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, manage my pronunciation better than yours. The king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Sodom, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And the Bible says that he gave him a tenth of all. Verse 20. The king of Sodom now came around, all right, and said to Abraham, "Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself." And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear you will say, I have made Abraham rich. I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten, and the share of the men who went with me, Anna, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their share. Now, listen to this. We all know that. I just felt we should read something. This man went to battle. By the law of conquest at that time, he was entitled to all the goods recovered from battle. But he said something, all right, ahead of time. He prayed to God and said, "God, you will, I'm asking you for victory in this. I am not fighting this battle for what I'm going to get. I just want to deliver my brother Lot. Now, Lord, you please give me victory. I will not take anything from that place." By the time they gave him all of this, Abraham turned to the king of Sodom after he had given a tithe to Melchizedek, and after the other men have taken what they wanted to take, he said, "Listen, take everything back for one simple reason. I already made a promise, and I don't want you to say I made Abraham rich." Now listen to this. What does that tell you? Abraham was already rich and was going to get richer. And he wanted his blessings, you know, he wanted all the glory for his blessings given to God alone. For that reason, even when something that was legitimately his was given to him, he said, "It looks like it's going to taint my blessing." He said, "I'm not taking it." That is a principle of Sabbath. That's what I'm going to explain. That is a principle of rest. You see where I'm going in a moment. Another time came, for time's sake, we won't be reading all of this. He and Lot, all right? This was before this, all right? He and Lot, they had issues because Lot was traveling with him. Lot was getting richer. He was getting richer. And their wealth at that time was mostly livestock. So the men that were keeping Lot's livestock and Abraham's livestock, they were having conflicts. So they said the best thing to do was to split the company into two. Which part of it do you want? The Bible says that Lot, before his uncle, he chose that this issue should have refused and said, "Sir, anyone you give me, I will take." But the man stood and chose before his uncle. He chose the prime areas. And we know the rest of the story, okay? The Bible says he lifted up his eyes and looked towards the plains of Sodom, that they were well watered like the garden of the Lord. So he moved in that direction. What is the principle of Sabbath there? That Abraham was willing to stand and wait until Lot had chosen, and he was not afraid for his future. I hope you're getting my point here. He was not afraid. Why was he not afraid? Was he a glutton for punishment? No, because he had a promise. I said this is the principle of Sabbath, that you say that nothing that I'm ever going to get will come except as a manifestation of God's blessing in my life. Yes. That is the principle of Sabbath. The man said, "Listen, this thing I'm going to get is a manifestation of God's blessing." Lot is not about hustling. It's not about who chose first. Like I say all the time, every blessing has a label. No blessing for the believer is by chance. Blessings are commanded. That which is yours has your name written on it. When you're making choices, therefore, you behave like that. Not anyone say, "Look, you have to be quick," or "you have to." No, some of these business principles people teach, this motivational speaking, people motivate people a lot of times. It annoys me. Many of those things people say are totally against the word of God. They are. Your faith must shape your behavior in life. Like I used to say, people say, "Hey, you were not around. You will have gotten that job." Tell them it's a lie. If the job was mine, it would have waited for me. If it did not wait for me, it was not my own. If it didn't wait for me, it wasn't mine. Somebody else has been given the contract. Let him do it. Am I the only person that's going to do it? If I'm the only one that's collecting all the blessings, so everybody will have to queue up at my doorstep to eat. It's an attitude. Like I was saying, those when I was in Lagos, I didn't have a car. You know, I don't know how Lagos is now, but those you have to rush to get a bus, you know. You get to the bus park, Molo is coming, Danfo is coming. I'm going back home. Maybe I went to church and stuff like that. It's getting late. I had one habit. I get to the bus stop. I never struggled for a bus. It was just my habit. They say, move over there, rush. When everybody comes, you rush with them. I said, no, not me. I'm not used to rushing. Why not? The bus that will pick me up has been ordained by God to stop in front of me. So I always stood in one spot. And guess what? It never failed. They always stopped in front of me. People will run up and down. I didn't used to lose weight because of bus in Lagos. Me? God is my witness. Since I discovered that revelation, I always stood on one spot. I get to the bus stop. I scan. I say, this is where I'm standing. As one down for is coming, people are moving towards it. You know, the conductor is not talking yet. Then, everybody will start rushing. Once it starts, Banky steps back. I go back to my spot and I stand there. Finally, one bus will come. It will stop almost dead in front of me. Or maybe a few steps to the left, a few steps to the right. I'm not kidding about this. I gently go in and sit down. I said, no, I'm not going to rush. Why? My blessings are commanded. They are not games of chance. I'm talking about the principle of Sabbath, the attitude of Sabbath. So Abraham, what happened to him? Abraham, he knew this. For that reason, he was not hustling with a Lot. Who will choose first? Who will choose first? Abraham just said to him, Abraham just looked and said, listen, anyone you choose, choose. When you're done, I'll take the rest. That's how blessed people behave. You know, some people, they hear of an appointment. They keep it from their friends. Why? The fewer of us who know, the better the chances. You're not blessed. You're not blessed yet. That's the truth. You hear a scholarship is coming up. You don't let your friends know. Because if they know, all of them will compete. You're not blessed yet. It's a sign that you're not blessed. When you start hiding things from people. Listen, a blessed man just says simply, if it's mine, it's coming. If it's mine, it's coming. I'm not going to call to beg them. Why? If it's mine, it's coming. Somebody may take it before you. It was not my own. Now, I'm going somewhere with all of this talk. So, for Israel, when God wanted to teach Israel this, you know how he taught it to them? He said, I want you to understand that man doesn't live by bread alone. Now, I'm adding many things together now. He said, for that reason, this is how you will keep my Sabbath. This is how you will keep it. There are different kinds of Sabbaths. There were days of Sabbath, and those ones also had different types. But the weekly Sabbath was from 6 p.m. on Friday, you did no work. To 6 p.m. on Saturday, you did nothing. If you did anything, you were liable to be being executed. What was God telling them to do? Sit at home, love your wives, love your children, look around the house. It's not the day you clean the house. Don't think it's like, okay, let's get the opportunity. You don't clean the house. You just lounge around. You don't even cook. Your slaves were not even allowed to cook. You were forbidden from kindling a fire. That is, you don't light a fire to cook anything. What do you just do? You just sit down there and do nothing. So you could go to the synagogue and hear the word of God. It had to be in your neighborhood. You could gather and eat together. You just fellowshipped. What was God trying to tell them? You see what I'm trying to say in a moment. Just pause there. They had Sabbaths also on festival days. Like Passover was also a Sabbath day. For those who don't know, that's how come Jesus actually did not die on Friday and rise up on Sunday, like we keep on saying Easter, you know, Resurrection Sunday. Jesus did not do anything like that, okay? Jesus died on Wednesday and rose up on Saturday evening, and they saw him on Sunday morning. That was what happened. You say, why? Because, you see, it had to be 3 days and three nights. Friday to Sunday is 2 days and two nights. Jesus said, I must be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Now, the confusion for a lot of people is that the Bible says it was before the Sabbath. Another version says it was after the Sabbath. There were two Sabbaths that year. There was a regular Fridays to Saturday Sabbath, And then there was a high Sabbath on Wednesday, which was their Passover. So that week had two Sabbaths. So he was crucified before one Sabbath. So they said, let him not be on the Sabbath. It's unlawful for him to be on the tree, on the Sabbath, on the cross. So they brought him down before the high Sabbath. And the first day after the regular Sabbath, the women rushed in to go and finish embalming the body. And he was gone. So they went the day after the regular Sabbath, which was Sunday morning, and found he was already up from the dead. So he died on Wednesday and rose up on Saturday night. So that's 3 days and three nights. You can easily count it. Wednesday to Thursday, Thursday to Friday, Friday to Saturday. That's 3 days and three nights. All right, that's just by the way, not important, okay? And that's, but how can we celebrate Easter on Friday? Easter was never a Christian holiday. It was the pagan holiday that was baptized. You get my point? They baptized it. From now on, you are the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the thing said, amen. And all the people started following. That's just what happened. Just by the way. So now we got an issue here. So for them, that day of Sabbath existed every week and then certain high days. Another kind of Sabbath they had was Sabbath years. All the Sabbath year, you farmed your land for 6 years. Then in the seventh year, you did no work. Again, it was a law for Israel. Now, back to what I was trying to say. What was God trying to say in all of these things? He was telling them in effect, it's not your labor. It's not your effort. You have to give room for me to demonstrate that I'm the one blessing you. So he said to them, it is vain for you to rise up early and go to bed late. Those who broke the law of Sabbath also will not sleep on time. Are you getting my point here? So he was saying to them, it's vain for you to rise up early and go to bed late, thereby eating the bread of sorrows. He said, because I give to my beloved even while they are asleep. That's the literal translation of that Psalm 127. God gives to his beloved even while they sleep. So the recognition of that fact is what Christians walk by that we will call Sabbath. That's why we are not always listening. What is his name? Rick Joyner closes his church for 1 month in a year. He said, all members go to other churches. This is not the only church you will attend. Go and see how other churches are. Some pastors will say, if they go, they may not come back. Oh. And Rick Joyner says, hey, go, don't come back. If you like the place so much, then maybe you belong there. You don't belong here. Yeah. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
And this is the principle. A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. That is the principle of Sabbath. That's why Christians are not afraid to take holidays. That's why Christians are not afraid to shut down their businesses for a period. And say, we are going on retreat, we are not working. They say, business needs to be moving. They say, they can move another time, not today. Your customers will go away, they will be back if they are ours. I don't know whether you get my point. Let me explain something to you. Christians, your life is not a game of chance. It's not strategic location that is blessing you. No, it's not strategic location. What God wants is to make you a strategic location. Are you getting my point? You are not looking for strategic location. You become a strategic location. That's what God is looking to do. That's the principle of Sabbath. That's the reason why a Christian can put off his phone at night. You can say business is over for today. I shut down my office line by 7 p.m. Clients may call you at night. Around what time? 11 p.m. Do I look like fire service? Why are they calling me at 11 p.m.? I'm not a doctor. I am not the police. I'm not the fire service. Why are you calling me at 11 p.m.? I trade in cement and house fittings. You want to call me at 11 p.m.? Sorry, call me tomorrow. When we behave like that, it's not because we are gluttons for punishment and we like to lose. No. We say that simply because we know that our lives are not games of chance. We are not playing. We are saying if indeed you are our customer, you will call back again by tomorrow. You will not keep us up till 12 midnight. Why? Because you may just call. And if you call at 12 midnight, you don't know what they call sleep. Like the Bible says, my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you 3 loaves. Remember, lend me 3 loaves. That is the principle. Listen, unless you are a doctor on emergency duty, which is not for you, is for those who want to call you. You understand my point? Or you are a policeman who is also on emergency duty. Or you are a fire serviceman. Your business line should literally go off at night. And when they call, don't answer. Listen, if you mistakenly left it on, don't answer. You will be breaking the rule of Sabbath. That's the point I'm trying to make. For us believers, God didn't give us all those commandments like, thou shalt, we walk it out through spiritual enlightenment. There were no phones those days. So nobody gave laws concerning phones. But knowing the principle of Sabbath and knowing why men will leave their phone on 24 hours and pick every call, say, I'm expecting clients. And clients are keeping you up at night. They didn't call you. You are just waiting for them. That's what I mean. It shows you have broken the law of Sabbath. That's the point I'm trying to make. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, sometimes you don't need your email, listen to this, delivered to you on the go. Sometimes we know we just create fads because you can get your email as you are moving. If email is not critical, It's not critical, it's not a critical part of your functioning as a business. Check your mail twice a day. Okay, three times a day. Morning, halfway through the day, and when you are closing, reply the mails and shut it down. Are you getting my point? Don't let you are good on the road, you get an email, you still there, you want to process it. And then somebody will not tell you in business school that you see that's how to be quick. You have to be on your toes, you have to be moving fast. Most of those principles are unbelieving principles. The Bible says, he that believes does not make haste. He doesn't make haste. Oh, people don't know it. We started this church today. Within 6 months, we were 5,000. Praise God. And young ministers, they get confused by such funny testimonies. The man didn't tell you, we're already well known where we were before we moved over here. Young boy will now, he won't sleep again. He'll be praying and preaching and walking day and night because he wants the church to blow from nobody to 1,000 people, even in 1 year. The Bible says, he that believes is not in a hurry. I'm talking about the principle of Sabbath. We're talking about how to work for God. Don't forget that. So in working for God, we understand this principle of Sabbath. And because we understand it, let's look at this. Because we understand it, we understand exactly what Jesus was saying here when he was talking to the disciples. The Bible says that there was a time he sent them out. And when they returned, all of them were so excited. They said, let us go back, master, and go and do some more work. But he said to them, come aside and rest for a while. Let's read that scripture. Mark chapter 6. What I'm trying to do is to explain to us how the practical side of it comes. And how it manifests. But the practical side is not first, it's the spiritual aspect. Now he sent them out, you know, before this one. Alright, if we go to verse 7, the Bible says, and he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs. He gave them authority over the unclean spirits, and instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff. They were to take no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals. And he added, do not put on two tunics. And he said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Then he told them the things to do. All right. Go to verse 13. The Bible says, and they were casting out many demons, and they were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. These were the things that happened when they went out. And believe me, if Jesus sends you out and you are seen demons walking out and, the sick being healed, when you lay hands on them, you want to continue the work. Now, that's a matter of fact. You will be excited. You won't want to stop. But look at what happened. Verse 30. The Bible says that the apostles gathered together with Jesus and they reported to him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. Why? For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. The Bible now said in verse 32, they went away because of what the Lord just said. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. Let me begin to round up for today, all right? Now, what am I going to bring out here? This, again, is a principle of Sabbath in manifestation. That is, they were out there walking. Many people want to get results. Listen, they want to go on break when they are tired. They want to go on break when things are no longer working. They want to go on break when they have problems. They want to go on break when they have serious crisis. But I want you to notice the time Jesus said they should go on break. It was while they were getting results and while they were eager to continue what they were doing. You know, when we were serving those days, many of you have done NYSC and you've gone on endurance trek. How many people have done that? Endurance trek, NYSC. Many people here. Very good. I served in Taraba State many years ago, and the day of our endurance trek, our camp commander said, everybody set out. We set out very early in the morning, and we were walking. Okay, we started very early, 5 a.m., we're out. Walking. And at the point in time, the camp commander ordered that we should stop and start going back. And guess what happened? We all started grumbling, no, now. You know, we still had energy in ourselves. Let's keep going. But the man being an experienced soldier, just everybody gave the order. All right, everybody turn. We're going back to camp. So we turned around and started walking back. Shortly after we started walking back, we began to drop by the wayside. Somebody is get tired here. Somebody will almost collapse. You see one girl, her friends are holding her up. One girl started crying, mommy, you know this kind of... What was the reason? When we started going, it was early in the morning. We got to that particular point maybe around 10 in the morning, all right? We had been walking for hours, literally. But the man looked and said, they have to return back. He had calculated it. And from experience, he said, this people, we wanted to turn back when we start getting tired. You know, young people's mindset, our plan was that when we start getting tired, we'll turn back. Yeah. But the man looked and said, no, you're already tired, you don't know. Me, I'm experienced, yeah? Turn. We didn't make it halfway back when calamity began. As soon as we got onto a major road, without breaking the law, people were stopping vehicles and jumping inside the vehicle. No, how many soldiers were there? How many people did they catch? Now, why am I saying this? That was the kind of thing that happened to the apostles. They were willing to keep going. And in business also, it will happen to you like that. You want to keep moving. But what I'm preaching today, listen, don't let the world teach you how to do things. Part of the work of God is that after a while, you say, let us prove it is God that is moving us forward, not ourselves. How do we prove it? We go home and do nothing. That's what I'm making. People don't realize it. In life, you must deliberate. You can't walk all the time. It's against the law of God. It's a sign that you have not taken hold of that covenant. When we're in Isaiah chapter 56, you notice something here. He always said, who respects my Sabbath? That's the first line. They now talk about the fact that they hold on to the covenant. What am I going to say here? That is the sign that they understand that the blessing is coming from him is that they respect the principle of Sabbath. I'll give one example earlier. There are times that they know people, they say, we're not calling anybody. It's a principle. It's a principle of Sabbath. Another part of that principle is what I'm talking about now, in which deliberately Christians take time aside and said, it is time to do what? To rest. I'm not going to talk much about it. In fact, I've spoken extensively about it today. All right, maybe by next time I'll conclude it. But I just want to bring out an issue that it is work for God. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. When you are sleeping, it is work for God. The Bible says it is vain to rise up early. He said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can walk and when all men, I'm adding my own words now, should be asleep. It's important we get this principle. People think it's only the time that you are up and about that you are getting results. No, there's something God wants us to know. If you are always up and about, you are not blessed. Did you hear what I said? If you are always up and about, you are not blessed. One of the lessons, I was talking to my wife the other day, I said, look, one of the lessons you must learn if you are doing business, listen to this, is to, cooperate with growth, don't always force it. You see what I said? You know, the farmer, there's nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do to make the corn grow faster than it was planning to grow. If you like, tie a rope and start stretching it, you can only kill it. What you do is, you cultivate the earth, plant it, fertilize it, and do what? Watch it. If the corn is not growing the way you think it should grow, there's nothing you can do. You can only check, say, did we fertilize it enough? But that corn, you don't touch. If he says, I'm going to grow in 3 months, bros, even if you're in a hurry, say, my children are graduating in eight weeks, please, come, will you try and hasten the growth? Because I want to travel. You call the farmer and say, come, guys, I need to travel. I need to harvest this thing before I travel. My flight is booked for the 18th of September. By my calculation from the time of planting, 3 months will expire in October. Guys, no, I can't do that. Please, what are you going to do? And let me tell you the truth. That's how it is with life. That is how, listen, if you're always stressed out by what you are doing, go and check. Am I trying to force the corn to grow? Am I trying to force it? That's one thing a lot of people do. God has taught me that one. Like, ministry as an example. Apostle, you are my witness. I have never borrowed money to do anything in ministry. Why? Did you ever do that? When it was only me and you? Can't remember. Sometimes when I read that, ministers are owing money. Like, how did you manage to owe money? You must learn to cooperate with growth. You can't force it. What you do is learn to do what is right when it is right. And patience is a fruit of the Spirit. You cannot force a business to succeed. You cannot force a ministry to grow. You can only do what is right and then let God do that which is pleasing in his sight. Do you know even Joab understood that? He told his brother, if the other people are too strong for you, I will come and help you. If my own people are too strong, because he divided himself into a group when they were attacked by different armies. If the other guys are too strong for me, you come and help me. He said, just make sure you show yourself valiant. For the ark of our God, or the cities of our God, he said something like that. He said, then let the Lord do that which is pleasing in his sight. That it just be courageous, that's all. If after that you lose the battle, too bad. That was what he told his brother. Joab was a tough man of war. But he understood that victory belongs to God. The only thing we can do is to show courage. After that, that's the end. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm not saying as Christians, we should be failing anyhow. But also as Christians, we should learn not to feel bad if something fails. A man chases a woman for some time. The woman runs away. He's feeling bad. I'm a failing chaser. There's nothing. Look, there's nothing. It just didn't work. Like I always say, he takes away the first to establish the second. That's all. As a believer, any business I do must succeed is a lie. As a believer, any business you do that's not good for you must fail. Anyone you are doing that God did not send will not do well. And it is wisdom to quickly know that this one, God is not in it. You pull your hand out. Go and listen to my message. Take that loss. It's very important. Don't use Ogbo. Listen, what you can do with growth is to cooperate with it. You can't force it. As a believer, you pray. You pray. You confess the word of God. You make sure. Listen, these are the principles. Diligence is one of our traits. Everything we do with righteousness. We make sure we always do what is right. You don't cheat people. You don't owe people recklessly. If you can't pay staff, lay them off nicely. Stop telling stories. You know, the other man has not paid. Please, make sure that one comes to an end quickly. Do all of this. Make sure you're always doing what is right. And if you've done everything that is right, and the thing does not grow, let's put it like this, it's not your fault. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. I'm talking about the principle of Sabbath. Listen, please, don't miss it when I start teaching Ecclesiastes. When I studied Ecclesiastes, I understood that, this life is easier. I don't want to start teaching it now. Solomon explained that, listen, when I say there is a time for everything, you know what? You know how we interpret it? That there's a time to eat, there's a time not to eat. Which is not totally wrong, but that was not what he said. What Solomon actually said is that there's a time for everything. The time for launching of Facebook has been predetermined. It was not dependent on Mark Zuckerberg. I don't have to explain that. That's what he said. He said, I observed it. He said, forget that thing. Google is not the idea of Sergey Brin or Larry Page. The year the Google came into existence was determined. There was a time for the release of Google. We interpret it like, listen, oh, there's a time to sleep, there's a time to wake up, which is not a lie, like I said. But what he was saying is that certain things are predetermined. So what is a man supposed to do? That's what I'm talking about. He said, Solomon was saying, in effect, please, please don't miss it when I start teaching this thing. Because it will make your life easy. Solomon said, listen, what you do is, in anything you do, fear God. Walk in righteousness and make sure you enjoy doing it. That's what he said. He said, when you do all of these things, when the time for prosperity comes, it will show. I don't know whether you get my point. He said, Solomon said, listen, there is nothing like, he showed that people go through many phases in life. And he explained that in all of them, he said, some people obey all the principles of doing business, but they fail. It's not new. Solomon wrote it. He said, some people do everything wrong, but they succeed. He said, so I determined it was time and chance that happened to them. I need to know, said something. He said, if I knew the principles of accounting, I would never have succeeded. He said, why? I did everything wrong when he learned accounting later. That everything I did was wrong. But here I am today. Now, he wasn't saying people should start doing wrong accounting. He said, but at that time, I did not know it. But I enjoyed what I was doing. He failed many times, so don't think everything he did succeeded. He almost killed himself a few times. Please, I hope you are getting my point here. I'm talking about the principle of Sabbath. I realized, after I read Solomon, I read Ecclesiastes, I made up my mind that Solomon said, Banky, are you called to teach? And I said, yes. He said, make sure every day you are teaching, you are enjoying it. Enjoy the teaching as if it's the last day to teach. Sit down there and teach and teach and teach. He said, because you cannot force ministry to grow. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You can't force anything to happen. That is why when it's time to sleep, put off your phone and sleep. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Put off your phone and sleep. You go to a bank to apply for a loan. Tomorrow is, if I say this, it makes some people laugh. You're supposed to see the account officer, or what they call them now, the loan officer, the following day. Some people this night, they are sowing seed. They are casting in the name of Jesus. We cast down, we bind. No, don't do that. The night before, please sleep. And some people won't understand what I've said. So there are forces that said you won't get it. If they can say it, it was not your own. I have learned that one. Many of the prayers Christians pray are the reasons God can't do anything. Say, Lord, move. Say, the boy is still praying. Move now. Say, the boy is still praying. So, Lord, why don't you want to move? He has not finished praying. It sounds like a joke. I am not joking about it. Let me ask you a simple question. Which prayer did David pray for Samuel to come to his house? Lord, I call Samuel in the name of Jesus. Samuel will come to this house and anoint me, and he will show that indeed I'm a king. Which prayer did Joseph pray for Pharaoh to send for him? I was listening to one message the other day. You know what the man of God said? He said that was one man that not one single prayer was recorded as coming from his mouth in the whole Bible. Joseph. It never struck me before that from beginning to the end, Joseph never prayed. Did you ever think about it before? When I heard it, I said, what? That guy was not a prayer warrior. He said, no, he was not a prayer warrior. He was a righteous warrior. Yeah. He was just a righteous man. When I say, do this, say, no. We're not doing. That's bad. The God of my father said, if I catch you, now hellfire be that though. When I say, what? Your God wouldn't know. He said, no. Everything in life has boundaries. These are the boundaries in this house. You're excluded from the boundary. That was the only thing Joseph did. Joseph did not, when I found out he did not pray, he was dreaming dreams and walking. And walking in righteousness, that's all. Pray? I'm not saying prayer is bad though. Jabez prayed though. Are you getting my point? So I'm not saying prayer is bad. Jabez prayed. But Joseph excelled beyond Jabez by every parameter. And did not utter one word of prayer. So you see, it's not a lot. In fact, you know, some Christians, if I say this, you are going to laugh, but it's the truth. Some Christians will not be blessed until God doesn't hear their voice at night again. He said, what do you do for John? God said, John? He said, go and tell him that if I ever hear his voice between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m., he will be on that spot for another 2 years. He said, God, why are you doing like that? He said, the boy thinks it is his prayer. So I need to let him know it is not. And if you look back, you will see it's those times that somebody died, you went for a party, somebody married, you were there dancing. It's only a day after that you got breakthrough. Because that was the only time God could persuade you not to pray. You were too busy. So God, they will say, Lord, he's not praying. He said, he's not praying. Quickly give me small breakthrough. You wake up and you woke up to work that day. No, you that I'm talking about, you go and just check your life. Say, it's true. The day I finally got that car for 70% of the price everybody was calling, it was a weekend after we had been struggling and struggling over my grandfather's burial. I just came back and they said, this man is selling the car the same quality for 30% less than other people. You check and say, it is true. The day I finally got the admission of that staff was the day after... Manchester United and Chelsea and Man City, all of them were playing for a week. I watched football the whole week. On Monday, I got breakthrough. He said it's true. Are you saying prayer is bad? No. God said, no, prayer is not bad. Just like you, your own prayer holds my hand. When you start praying, I want to, let me do something. I say, Lord, I will not leave you. Lord, let not leave you. I will not leave you. God said, okay. Let's stay here together. I can't pray. Like I said, for some people, it's like that. So God said, okay, what are you going to do? You are going to sleep regularly. When you wake up in the morning, you just give thanks and go about your business. And you now start seeing breakthrough. Why? Some people think it is their prayer that is working. They think they know how to do. We know how to bind fast and everything. God said, better eat, otherwise I won't listen. What is he trying to do? Simple. He said, my glory, I will share with nobody else, including the prayer warrior. That's why prayer, what prayer? Oh God, let's go home. But the prayer you need is a prayer that removes you from obstructing God. Did you hear what I said? There are prayers that you need to pray. Why? So as to remove yourself from obstructing God. Maybe you have finished calling everybody. Everybody is trying to help you. Say, Lord, today I want to pray for this my breakthrough. So what are you going to say? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of seeking human help. Did you notice that? You didn't say, Lord, give me a breakthrough. You said, Lord, I repent of seeking human help. What else? Say, Lord, I receive insight concerning what a man does when he goes to the next level. Are you getting my point? You see, you are correcting yourself. That's the prayer you need. After that, you relax. Breakthrough will start falling upon your head so rapid. So rapid. The rapidity of you will be surprised. Say, but I was praying for 10 years. God said, the prayer you were praying was to show that you had control. And I need to prove to you, you don't have any control. Don't let anybody teaching faith tell you have control. You don't have. You don't have. Listen, you don't have. I'm sorry to say you don't have any control. There's no kind of confession you can do to confess. You do not have any control. The only thing you can do is to lift up the word of God and the word of God thinks. There are many things you are doing that God says, that's not your line, that's not your business, that's not your career. And all the prayer you have been praying to sustain something I don't want you to have. Say, stop praying for a week. Let it collapse. What we call prayer is nothing but spiritualism. Because even if you are against God, if you open your mouth and say, you won't fall, this man, you will stand. By the time you say it enough, the thing can't come down. All the evil spirits in your neighbor will be holding it up for you. But guess what your point is? Just say, Lord, I give you thanks because I was created for a purpose. Your will is working itself out in my life. I'm being conformed to the image of Christ. That thing drops, bam, to the floor and shatters. There are relationships in your life that needs to shatter. Every month you've been offering recharge card to a woman as if saying, bewitch. Do you get my point? Your offering is she a God? Sacrifice makes you not vex. Vex now! Think about it. You are giving offering to a human being. As if it's a goddess. Goddess Diana of the Ephesians. Guys, say this week, no offering for you again. Next month, no offering. I'll give you my proposal 6 months ago. I'm not repeating it. Call me by yourself and say, you remember what I said 6 months ago. Say she may not. That's it. You do like that after 2 weeks. The relationship comes crumbling down. Go and check it. Your life becomes easy the following week. Suddenly you are breathing easier. You now see that, now so fine sisters fold this church. Now that girl block your eyes and know they see again. I know what I'm telling you. Except you walk into this principle of rest, there are many things God wants to bless you with in life you will not receive. Many of the principles of prayer we think we have been operating are nothing but principles of manipulation. I've told you, stop writing confessions that are details. They are unnecessary. Detailed confessions are unnecessary. I am saying that one boldly. Detail all this one of, I confess, in the name of Jesus, she will be from around this ago, in the name of Jesus. That one is the reason why you marry Jezebel. You want to confess God's word, all you need to say is simple. Alright? Father, I thank you because you made Eve for Adam. And the help that I need, you have provided in Jesus' name. Very broad, very simple. Whether I should be short or tall, the word of God will decide. I know what I'm telling you. Whether I should be slim or fat, the word of God will decide. Whether I should be fair or dark, the word of God will decide. Whether I should be Ethiopian or Caucasian, the word of God will decide. The only thing is that the day Adam sees Eve, he will say, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Can't draw a woman with your confession. It's not the will of God. Let's go home. Let's ask to our feet. I'm sure I've freed somebody. Your recharge card money now. Your budget has been rearranged. Apostle Joseph, some people can't give offering because they chase women. You can't be blessed like that. Money for offering. You are used to buy a recharge card. You don't say that witches are pressing you at night. When you are phoning them, why won't they press you at night? They are using offering money to worship you. And you say, which won't press you at night? They will press you. But you have been delivered tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not saying you don't give offering, give gifts to young women, but do it out of generosity. Yes. You are happy. And I buy my wife things, but it's not so that she can marry me. You did it 17 years ago, so what's the big deal? You are in. You are not going out. I don't believe in divorce. It's against the will of God. Even if you're angry, you pack to your father's house. The Bible says you will stay there. The day you want husband, you come back. This one that we will just leave and then find another person is against God's will. Hear it now. I need to start retraining believers. They've been seeing a lot of rubbish. They think it's a normal thing. This is what God says concerning if a man and a woman, Christians, they are boxing themselves, they're fighting every day. They now decide because to prevent the firing of gunshots into the chest, let them separate. You know what God said? No problem. You can separate. Then when you have separated, you will stay apart like that. You will remain like that. If one day you decide that this your other room is lonely, you will go and collect your wife back. That's what the Bible says. You will be reconciled to her. If you go and marry somebody else, you are living in adultery. Please, let's start learning the Bible again. We talk sometimes as if God did not talk. He spoke. When two Christians marry, if then they quarrel for each other, one decides, the way this ministry be, pastor saying be pastor, me I say I be apostle. So Mrs. B now decides that I'm an apostle to Kenya. Because Pastor Banks said, I've been called by God to be teaching in Enugu. She now packs to Kenya. God said, no, wahala. It's bad though, but live on like that. But that Kenya, where you did, your name is Anna, praying for the coming of Jesus, no other husband for you. If you wake up one day and say, I need a husband, God said, buy a Kenya Airway flight. Fly back to Enugu and be reconciled to Kingdom World Ministries. And if Nami start the wahala, I will go carry bright price again. Carry all the brethren. We will charter a whole plane. We'll go to Kenya and kidnap the wife. Before Kenya authorities know what's happening, we are back in it. We'll be negotiating on the plane. That's what the Bible says. Please, I hope you are getting my point. The Bible does not allow us to say, because Mrs. B has gotten angry and left, Pastor Banky now has a right to pick one of the Okwekis with the conscious. Nothing like that, too. Please, I hope we are clear.
Yes.
No, let's learn it. I'm not saying that's why only Jesus told the disciples, they said, ah, John, in that case, it's better not to marry. Because John was young. I guess he was single. Peter looked and thought of his wife, say, ah, and I wanted to use the anointing of Jesus to scatter the ministry. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah, I hope you're getting my point too. Why did I even say that? Apostle, what started it? I don't know. Let's go home. Let's give the Lord thanks. Let's give what they say, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. I hope you are blessed today. Just say, Father, thank you. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for liberty. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for liberty. Say, Lord, thank you for freedom. Thank you for liberty. Thank him. Say, Lord, we thank you for freedom. We thank you for liberty. Say, Lord, I thank you for power to serve you, power to obey you, power to let you walk, power to rest, to walk in rest, to walk in rest, to walk in rest, to relax, to trust, so that I can walk into your blessing as a manifestation of your word. That power, in the name of Jesus, I receive it. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
I said, in the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
All right, it's well with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Goodness will go with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God's blessings will go with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Evil will not come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And your hands will not do evil in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They said, pray. Jesus was teaching them, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. You will not do evil in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will not do evil in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The power to resist temptation is given to you now again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus saw a woman caught in the act of adultery. He said to her, go and sin no more. I say to you in the same manner, go and have the strength to resist evil in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will not fall for temptation in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That overpowering power that it seems like that pushes you to do iniquity, listen, is broken now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It is broken in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is broken in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Walk in your victory. Just walk in victory. Don't be afraid. Don't be like, you know, I will tempt again. No. You have the power to overcome in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, good is coming your way.
Amen.
Hey, I have another word for somebody. Listen, like I was preaching earlier, I know that was what for you. Just continue to do what is right. Listen, don't ever stop. You've thought about it. What else am I supposed to be doing? I don't know. Everything I know I am doing, and this looks like the only work I have to do now. Continue doing it. Why am I saying so? It has not yielded fruit like you thought it would. And you have been on it for some months, maybe close to a year. But God said, this is your season of fruitfulness.
Amen.
It's your season of multiplication.
Amen.
Listen, you thought you were doing nothing, but actually you were sowing seed into the ground. You were. You were being tempted to do what is wrong, but you resisted. That was a massive watering of a seed. You prayed. You said, Lord, thank you. You are blessing my work. I walk in righteousness. That's watering the seed. You may not see it yet, but it's actually going down. We are spiritual people. People of God, listen. We are spiritual people. Money for us is not just a physical thing. When we handle it, we are sowing spiritual seeds. When we use it in the market, we are sowing spiritual seeds. When we talk to our customers, we are sowing spiritual seeds. So for this month, you have been doing what is right. God said you have been sowing spiritual seeds. You have been watering them appropriately. Don't be discouraged just because the harvest has not yet come. Because soon the harvest will come.
Amen.
I said soon the harvest will come.
Amen.
And it will be a blessing to you.
Amen.
Now, this is how you know the season of harvest. You put in the same effort and get 10 times the result. He said, put in the sickle because the harvest has come. At that point in time, don't be afraid. When you invested 10 naira before, this time around, boldly put in 50 naira. When you put in 1,000 before, don't be afraid. Boldly put in 50,000. Because this is the word of the Lord. Henceforth, the fruit will not fail in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It will multiply abundantly for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, don't believe any story told in books. So most of those books, they lie. I forgot my phone at home. I will have read a quote from the mouth of Steve Jobs for you. Steve Jobs said something. He said, you can never connect the dots. Now, it's not in my Bible, but just said it properly. He said, you can never connect dots looking forward. You can only connect dots when you are looking backwards. He said, when it comes to success in life, he said, there's no way to plot it. You just have to believe in something. He said that you believe in God or your guts or in your karma, or he quoted about four things. He said, you just have to believe in something. He said, because there is no way to plot success. Steve Jobs, when I saw it, one of my colleagues, he said, choosing career, subspecialty in medicine, we're giving lectures to medical students, for this thing I went. And he just showed that thing. I quickly photographed the screen. Steve Jobs said, listen, you can't connect dots going forward. It's only when you are reached somewhere, you look backwards and see how the dots connected. He said, how do you succeed? He said, you have to believe in something. He said, because there's no other way to succeed. I said, God in heaven, is this not what I've been teaching key people? Did somebody will not write one stupid book and be telling you that 7 keys of successful people? Those who have succeeded say it's a lie. Those who have succeeded say it's a lie. Those who write those books are professional writers. They will find something to write. Listen, what am I saying that to you? Don't be discouraged. You will prosper.
Amen.
You will do well.
Amen.
The seed you have sown, they will germinate.
Amen.
You know, God doesn't want to share glory. All those your 17 laws of power, they are sharing his glory. That's why he's been looking at you. There are books Christians must burn. They are books of idolatry. There was a man that began to molest little girls, and one day was going to kill them. His wife left him for it, but one day, his wife came back with him to go and see Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said to him, that you have two evil spirits in you. He said, I could cast them out. He said, but there's no point because they are going to come back. The man said, what do I do? He said, fine. I will agree to cast the evil spirits out on one condition. That you will adhere to everything I have said strictly. I'm going to tell you strictly. The man said, yes, go ahead. He said, the man was a psychologist, PhD in psychology. He used to write books on the minds of sexual criminals. While I was reading those books, those evil spirits jumped into him. So the Canadian said, first of all, you will go and take all those your professional books and burn them. The man took the books and burned them and said, from now on, you will study your scriptures every day. The man agreed. He said, fine. He cast the spirit out of the man. He said, I didn't see any dramatic manifestation, but I knew two spirits left him. After that, the man became normal. There are evil spirits that are corrupting your business. You've read too many things. You are not reading your Bible. Steve Covey talks to you in the morning. John Mason in the evening. Everybody, Steve Covey. I hope you know Steve Covey is a Mormon. Anthony Robbins is a new age practitioner. Anthony Robbins does not believe in God. You cram them day and night, you think that's where you are going to succeed? Go and read the story of John Washington Carver. They said the man spent more time reading, he was a scientist, a black man in times of slavery. He spent more time reading his Bible in his laboratory than he spent doing scientific research. But how did he used to get revelation? He would look and say, God, show me, understand what is inside this place. So one day he said, God said, what do you want? He said, I want to understand the universe. God said, your mind is too small. You can't understand it. Ask for something else. He said, okay. He took a groundnut and said, God, show me something about the peanuts. He pulled out more than 100 products from groundnut. One of those was in the business. You are reading Steve Covey. Does it tell you about the law of grace? You need to read Psalm 23 and read it daily. Daily for 365 days in the morning. Breakfast. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Do I want the valley of the shadow of death? You just be quoting it anyhow. You now realize that business success is engineered by spirits. Angels talk to customers. One brother just came from Benin. He came to see me. You have seen there are some clothes you see me wear, some long robe with cufflinks, stripes. He sends them to me. That's what he does. He sends just dash them to me. Came to see me. He said, "Oga, ha. See what happened?" He said, "Last month was dry." I said, "No, in the name of Jesus, it is not recession for me. I'm a child of God." He said, "I began to confess the word of God." He said, "Sir, this month, I have never had this amount of work in my life." He said, "Recession." He said, "I have never, that this month, October, all my life, I've never had this amount of work." Listen, though, angels, they wake customer up. Go and read the most shakari, happiest boy on earth. He wanted to sell a business. One man was sleeping at home. God woke him up. "You, get up." Suddenly it came to his mind. "Go and buy Demon Shakari's business." He said, "The business is losing money. Go and buy it all the same." They negotiated. He said, "I won't take your price." Demon Shakari and his father said, "This is what we are selling." "The money I'm not taking." He slept again. God said, "Get up and go and buy." So he called the man and said, listen, guys, I need to sleep. You guys are not letting me sleep." So when they signed the deal, he said, "Please, thank you very much. At least now I can sleep." The Holy Spirit said to him, "Go and buy that business." Why? Because the Moshe Karan begged God. When God told him that this is not what I told you to be doing, he said, "Lord, okay, I'm very sorry, but please, I'm losing money. Can you just help me save small money?" In fact, he said it was so embarrassed, he looked at whether anybody was hearing it. God answers prayers. I don't think it's that I learned how to write my confession. You can't direct things. After you just give broad word, the word can think. The word of God thinks. Listen, good will come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Stagnation is rebuked from your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Good will come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I rebuke stagnation.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for today. In Jesus' name we are praying. Let's share the grace in fellowship. If you are coming for the first time, look at that piece of paper. We know that we are babalawos in Christ. We are not ashamed of it because we know we are the ones that really understand the mysteries of God. Being a babalawo means you understand mysteries. And the mystery is in Christ. Amen?
Amen?
So we are the deepest of them all. And we have our incantations. Our incantations are what? The word of God. Scripture that we have lifted out from there. And we have put upon our lips. So let's do some incantating. Is that correct English? I invented if it doesn't, if it's not, doesn't exist. It's my invention and it works, all right? So let's do some incantating. Are we ready?
Yes,
let's share the word of God. Let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the life of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.
This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus.
Now for those coming for the first time, when we say one more time, we personalize it. All right. So let's do it one more time. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. They will share with somebody on the left or on the right. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name. Share with another person. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication. All right, share our brethren.